Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome those of you that are just now logging on to our podcast, coming to you live from Metron in beautiful and historic Midtown Atlanta. This month, I'm not technically doing a teaching series per se. I am going to talk a little bit about meditation, but I've had many requests from the podcast audience and the YouTube audience to devote an entire time to meditation so that people can participate with it. And I feel like a few months ago when I taught a meditation and we started, I think we really started something that was very important and powerful. And then we kind of got away from it, and I'd like to... The good news about enlightenment is you can always get back to where you were, and it's just simply the decision. Everything's just a decision. Being happy is a decision. It's like it just is, and it doesn't mean you feel it immediately. It just means that you decide, and the feelings eventually catch up. I don't want to trivialize sickness, but getting well is pretty much a decision. I mean, I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying not take your medicine. I'm saying there has to be this decision where you say, I'm just not going to be sick anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it begins with that. That's why when I visit someone in the hospital who is sick, I usually ask them, what exactly do you want? Because a lot of what we do in prayer, and charismatics were notorious for this, is... very presumptive. It's, you know, you're presuming you know what's right for the person. I don't assume everybody wants to live. I mean, I've gone to visit some people, I'm sure you have, Doc, and I will ask them, do you want to live? Are you ready to cross over? Do you want to fight or whatever? Because if it's not in them, you kind of create some weird mojo, because sometimes they're ready to go to the other side and you're pulling on them, and it's very important to find out exactly what are we agreeing for. And as I've told you before, I don't even know that there's such a thing as a prayer of agreement. I think that's nearly a Christian urban legend. I think agreement is more, it's a conversation you have. It's having somebody in your life that says, I agree with you for that. Let's see how we can facilitate that. And so I think that's, and I can tell you this, and I went to sleep last night listening to some of the Four Agreements again, and so much of it is about even things I've taught on, that you have to release some of your previous agreements that you've made. Like when somebody tells you something terrible about yourself and you agree with it, that has, their reality has now become your reality. And so sometimes you have to, I mean, officially disconnect from a previous agreement and say, I don't agree with that anymore. I agree with this. I actually had thought about this month doing a series on the phrase, you have heard it said. I've taught on it a lot out of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But that's such a powerful concept where he locates what they have heard. He recognizes, you've heard Moses say this. You've heard the prophets say this. You've heard the priest in the temple say this, but I say. Now that seems very benign, but when he says, but I say, he's saying, I'm introducing an entirely new concept to you that is not what you've heard previously. You have heard your mother say, you have heard your father say, you have heard this, you have heard that, but I say. I mean, basically, everything we believe in a ministry like this is based on what is being said now. And we all respect what we have heard said. I mean, even honoring Billy Graham this week, it really brought up a lot of things. And I believe honor where honor is due. I think it's awesome how, you know, they treated him and had his body and stayed at the... I think all that was appropriate. It also brings a lot of things up for me that are irrelevant now. And it makes me have to examine them, say, I appreciate my background, but wow, I'm not that anymore. And some people are very insulted by that. They're like, you know, you've left the good way. No, I've heard it said, comma, but now I hear what he says and what is being said in me. And that's scary for a lot of people. People are very addicted to what they heard said. Olivia was asking me this week, because of course I'm taking pictures of her, and she asked me again, she's, why do you take so many pictures? I said, you can't realize this at 8 years old, but every time I see you, like, you're taller than you were last week. And I said, you don't have any concept how fast life is moving for somebody like me. So I just want to freeze frame, and I'm not trying to be intrusive on you. I just want to remember you, because when I see you next week, you won't look quite like this. So I'm trying to capture these moments, because, and I'm saying that to say, sometimes you haven't seen somebody in a while and you have to update your files on them, because in your head, they still look like what you remember. You have heard it said. But then you see them and you think, oh, well, I really need to rethink that. We had Addie all day yesterday, and we've, you know, when we've been with her parents, she's, I don't want to say the word hyper, but she's at that age. And apparently Kim was like this when he was a baby. None of his aunts wanted to keep him. But it takes an adult full-time following her every minute. Well, she was with us yesterday, and she was a pleasure. She was a pleasure. She was a pleasure at my parents' house. She played well with the dogs. She didn't stress my mom out. I mean, my mom could easily get stressed out by children, including me. Hey, Mom, I'll hear about that one later. But it was great, and I thought, wow, you know, you in your head, you're, because we had said, whew, it's going to be a long day, Saturday, but it wasn't. It was fine. She'd never been to a movie before. We took her to a movie. She sat there the whole time and loved it. So we had to update our files. It's like, well, no, she's pleasant when she's just with us. That's the secret. But it's what they used to call giving the benefit of the doubt. Anyway, I'm talking already more than I meant to talk. I just want to show you three things quickly, and then I want to explain to you. I think most of you have meditated with us, so this probably isn't a big transition for you. If you have not meditated with us, I invite you to please stay and participate. If you don't want to participate, at least stay. You don't have to do anything. But I really think you'll enjoy it, and it will benefit you. The first thing I want to share with you, and I taught on it before when we meditated the first time, is out of Psalm 4, and it's just this one phrase in chapter 4, verse 4, and this is in the New King James. It says, he says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. And then he uses the word Selah. Selah, S-E-L-A-H, very interesting word. It's used 74 times in the Bible, 71 of which are in the Psalms. And it's one of those sort of mystical words that there's not a clear-cut definition of it. If you look in the Amplified Bible, when it says Selah, it will say pause and calmly think of that. And so most scholars believe, because the Psalms were all songs, Psalm means songs. So when you quote the 23rd Psalm, you're quoting the lyrics to a song that David wrote. David was an artist. And so the Selah, probably, every time they see Selah, it's usually with one of the Psalms that begins, it'll say something like, to the chief musician. A lot of times these songs that David wrote would be dedicated to an individual. And within that is this Selah. And what it means, what most scholars believe, and this resonates with me, is that when a lyric in the song says something, then you have meditation time. It's like the music plays, and then you think about what was just said. I think if you don't meditate a truth, have you ever, even sometimes you'll be here and I'll say something, or another minister will say something, and you're like, oh, that was so good. And then you walk out and you say, that was so good what he said, but I don't, what was it? I don't remember. It was something, whatever it was really, really good. What was it? I don't know. And sometimes you can't even capture it with notes. It comes with meditation. Meditation, for me, is that moment when the seed impregnates you. And one of the definitions of meditation is literally to roll it around. It means that you, it's inside you, and you think of it from every possible angle. A lot of times, people use "Selah" as an exclamation point or an amen. Like, I said it, Selah, and it kind of means that, but there's actually a more meditative inference to it. It means to be still, play the music. I was watching, Jeff, we've talked about that, Gaia, that network. They post something this week that showed, somebody's brain listening to music, and you can see the changes that happen when somebody's listening to music. That's why even today, we're not in here worshiping, but just when she would play the music and she's playing skillfully, it positively affects your brain chemistry. Music does something that is indefinable, and you all know that. I don't have to convince you of that. But the idea is, think about what the lyric just said and hear it to music, which is why we meditate with music. David, especially in his early years, was clearly a mystic. Now, as he got older and became king of Israel, and, you know, he's had a lot of issues. You could see him as he got away from that mystical part of him. He really paid some consequences. But the early David, you know, you think about lines like, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a very meditative idea. That's somebody who's very pastoral in the sense of they're close to nature. You remember when, was it Solomon that came to anoint the new king of Israel, and he went through all of Jesse's sons? And couldn't find, it was kind of like the Prince Charming trying to find the slipper for Cinderella. And he said, that's not him. He goes through all of them. They said, well, we've got one that's out watching sheep. It couldn't possibly be him. And sure enough, he said it was him. But David, at that point, he wasn't hanging out in temples. He was not just a country boy. He was an outdoorsman. In the meditative sense. You know, there's some people, when they go out in the woods, they're wanting to kill a deer. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's a different intent. There's other people who they want to get close to nature because of the meditative aspect of it. I did it just week before last when we went to Myrtle Beach. The water was very cold. It was really too cold to get in at all, but we were riding bikes, and I said, I've just got to put my feet in it for a little bit. I'm making this up in my head, but it feels to me like I'm recalibrating my body clock. And so I just stood in there, and finally I yelled at him. I said, get your feet in this water. And so he did. And we just stood there for a minute, and there's something about getting back in sync with the rhythm of the earth and the tidal pull and all that. You know, I know that sounds really 60s and metaphysical, but it feels very real to me. It felt very cathartic. It's like, wow, I love the city. I'm always going to be a city boy, but it's good to get barefoot and walk on a beach and put your feet in the water. I don't want to live away from nature. And even in the city, I'm always in the park. I live next to Centennial Park. I'm always when it gets warm enough, I want to smell some grass. I want to look at a flower. The last few days, these beautiful spring colors are out. And I always remember when Suge says to Celie, I think it pisses God off when you walk through the field of the color purple and don't notice it. And that's the whole point of that work being titled The Color Purple. It means notice your life. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. And it's not just coming through a preacher. It's coming through noticing. It may be the color purple in this field. It may be just listening to somebody's voice. It means your life matters. What you think matters. What you feel matters. What you say matters. So that's the first thing. The second one, I just liked this quote. It doesn't use the word meditation, but it was, I was reading some things about meditation, and this, Alan Cohen says this, this just seems true to me. It says, if you want to find God, hang out in the space between your thoughts, which is really what meditation is. Meditation isn't sitting there trying to necessarily visualize something. It really means clear your mind. And that's, honestly, I think even if you have traditional ideas about prayer, at least balance your prayer with some meditation. Because if it's just you talking all the time, you are not hearing. I find this is something I've had to live with my whole life. When you are known as a talker, you know, your job is talking. People get real antsy when you're not talkative. You know, why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking? Well, sometimes I don't want to talk, and it doesn't mean it's anything bad. It just means I've talked enough. I need to be quiet for a minute. I don't think it's depression. I don't think it's, you know, it's just I need to be quiet. I've said enough right now. And there's also some, if I may be candid, there are some emotional things you go through that you think, you know, it's probably better for me not to talk right now, because anything I say, I'm going to end up snaring myself, because you probably don't want to hear what's abundantly in my heart. And it will pass, and I'll get to where I need to be. But the truth is in between your thoughts. As I told you before, when Jesus would disappear on the mountain or he'd be gone all night, I don't picture him praying. I just can't picture Jesus like, in the name of me, you know. I just don't picture, you know what I mean? That, you know, I was taught, we prayed. The Pentecostals prayed. The Charismatics prayed. It was driving. I picture Jesus being contemplative. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. That's what it was, him recharging his battery. Let me tell you something. Vacations aren't about sightseeing. They're about you recharging your battery. This is doctor's order. Sometimes you need to change your line of vision. You need to look at something different so that you think differently and go somewhere that's going to be good for your soul. If other people don't like it where you like to go, then go by yourself. Like I've told you before, New York is cathartic to me. Not for extended periods of time, but a little bit. I like the energy of it. I like all. And there inevitably will be somebody who says, are there a lot of people? Yeah, it's a very densely populated city. But the traffic, it's terrible. Why do you go? Aren't there so many people at Christmas time? Yeah, it's crazy. What's your point? If you don't want to go, that's fine. And there's always somebody. Even somebody even said it to me last time. I went, you couldn't pay me to go. I said, nobody's writing you a check. So, congratulations. Nobody's trying to pay you. Aw, would you please go to New York with me and complain every step of the way? And then the third thing I want to show you is... I like this. This guy, Amit Ray, writes a lot about meditation. And I like this. It says, suffering is due to our disconnection with the inner soul. Meditation is establishing that connection. What that means is for the most part, the answer really is in you. I mean, it really is. The term educate means to draw out. You know this with your life coaching. You try to get them to see what's already in them. That's how you facilitate them. And it takes somebody to help you get outside yourself to see what's already in you. But the answer really, that's not some new age cliche. The answer really is in you. I remember back when I did a lot of counseling, sometimes by the time somebody would come to me, their situation was so complicated. It was like a kid bringing you shoelaces that had 14 knots in them, and you just like, I'm just gonna have to cut this out. You should have brought this to me 11 knots ago. And sometimes when I just did not have an answer, I would say, all right, if Jesus was sitting behind this desk, what do you think he would tell you? And they would sit there and counsel themselves. Well, I think he would tell me I need to forgive my mother. Okay, keep going. And I need to stop being a victim. Okay. And, you know, they would, and then they'd be surprised, like, I didn't know I knew that. We have all these levels in us. And the answer's down there, but it gets covered by emotion and distraction, and your soul and your spirit need nourishment just like your body does. Your body has to be fed every day. A garden, I don't care how beautiful a garden is. I guarantee you, everything y'all did in your Zen garden last year, you're probably back to square one nearly. It's like it's all, you started again. It's called tending a garden. And I could make that metaphor. Your heart is a garden. It has to be weeded out. You know, when Jesus gave the parable in Mark 4, he says, if you can understand this parable, you'll understand all of them. And he said, the sower sows the word. But he talked about the quality of the soil. He basically said the word's the same for everybody, but it's whatever you produce is a matter of it. Your response to the word is your soil. It's not the quality of the seed. And remember when he talked about thorns and thistles, that he said there was some seed that fell by the wayside, and it says the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word. You already know the truth. You know what's really aggravating is when you teach the truth and you know, you have the revelation. Can I let you in a little trade secret? Just because you have a gift to teach it don't mean you have a gift to live it. It means you got to work it out like everybody else. And sometimes it's extremely frustrating when somebody wants to remind you of something you've already taught. You're like, yeah, I know that. Please don't remind me that I said that. I'm wrestling with it, my own self. And if you say it again, I'm going to have to slap you. That does not come from my significant other, by the way. He is a walking, calming effect. I'm sometimes not even sure he's human. He may be angelic. I keep looking for feathers. Are there feathers around here somewhere? What did Judas say the other day? They were talking about something. Judas said, "Well, as far as we're concerned, Ken has a painting in St. Patrick's Cathedral. Like he's like a saint." I was like, "Oh Lord," and I didn't argue. But sometimes you have to be quiet to find how do I mine out of myself, right? The mystical side of David, what did he do? Encouraged himself in the Lord. Many times because there was nobody else. I mean, David's lifestyle kind of painted him into a corner. I mean, he was full of himself. He did have a huge ego. He was outspoken. You know, a lot of people didn't know what to make of him. And then he'd find himself in a situation where, I mean, you could see, you know, why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Like he knew how, even bless the Lord on my soul. Mantra. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. That's speaking to your soul. Come on, soul. Come on, soul. You know how to do this. You know you're not looking at this right. You're not looking at this right. You've got to see this right. And sometimes most times you can't pray that in. you have to meditate it in to remove the stuff. What is it in Isaiah 60 where he says, every valley will be exalted, every mountain will be brought low, the crooked places will be made straight. And he talks about, he says, go through and prepare a highway for God. He literally talks about, like the imagery is like taking a machete and cutting through the underbrush so that the truth can emerge. What's going to happen here in the next few moments is you're going to find out that you have the answer more than you even realized. And I talked long enough to make sure I got everybody in. So let's not let anybody else in. If we can go ahead and bring the lights down. And I think most of you have done this with us, but just do it with us. You'll just do it. You need both feet on the floor. You need to empty your lap. Is that the long one? Oh! Well, let me hear it now. I want to hear it. I thought that didn't sound meditative. That's it.
Ayúdame, yo quiero saber lo que debo hacer.
Hallelujah.
Muestra el camino.
Okay.
Que debo seguir.
When I heard that oom-pa-pa, I thought, that's the meditation music I just bought? All right, back to where we were. Posture is real important. Sitting up straight, facing forward. I even think it's better if you can just have your hands free, unless you want to do them. If you want to do a mudra, it's not some weird Hindu thing. It's just an energy point. It just helps you focus if you're comfortable doing that. The breathing in of your nose and out of your mouth is about nitric oxide, not nitric acid, as of nitric oxide, and it's proven to relax the muscles. This, even those of you that work out, it's, when you breathe in through your nose, breathe out of your mouth, it automatically, even if you don't have time to do a full-on meditation, just a little breathing exercise can bring you some clarity. Nobody's going to be taking your picture during this, so don't be self-conscious. We're going to start the music. And I don't know how long we're going to go. We're just going to go until I feel like it's time to stop. But you need this. I need this. We need this. Don't stress about your thoughts. Don't think, oh, can't settle them down. Yeah, you can. They're just, you're the shepherd of your thoughts. So if they want to stray a little bit, you just bring them back. Don't be afraid if you doze off. If you do doze off, it's not the worst thing in the world. But the main thing is we're going to focus on breathing. Scripture uses breath and spirit interchangeably. Inhale deeply through your nose, if you can. Exhale through your mouth. If you can't do it that way, then at least do it in a consistent way. Mostly meditation is about breath, getting yourself into a relaxed state where you can find your own answers. Exhale through your mouth. Exhale through your fingertips, through the top of your head, out of the pores of your skin. Exhale the stress out. Exhale oppression and depression, whatever weird emotions you've dealt with recently, just exhale them out. Just expel them. Peace is in you. And meditate down to the peace. Where's the peace? Find God in between our thoughts. Straight and breathing consistently is just helpful to you. The kingdom of God is not rules and regulations. It's not religion. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. All that is in you. Distractions get you into a place that your body finds its self-healing mechanisms. You were created to be well. You're created to be whole. Get in touch with that wholeness. Get under the scars and find the healing place, a place of wholeness. Between your thoughts is the peace of God. In between your thoughts is consciousness. In between your thoughts is light. In between your thoughts is your oneness with the universe. With God, connect with Source. connect with peace. Closer to serenity. Your nervous system, your circulatory system, your respiratory system, all of your physical systems are being cleansed with peace. Peace is in your breath, peace is in your bloodstream. Is in your muscles. Peace is in your bones. It's in your skull. Peace is behind your eyes. Peace is in your inner ear. Say this for some of you that have experienced a sexual violation, pieces in your private parts. Let peace cleanse you in that area of negative vibration that somebody imposed on you that you still carry in those vulnerable places in your body. You're being freed from victimization. Freed from negative vibrations that came from people's words. Words that were spoken against you. Words that you agreed with. Your inner child is releasing agreements he or she made with authority figures. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's peace in the palms of your hands, peace in the soles of your feet. There's peace in your spinal column, in your flexors, the stress that you hold in your muscles and your body. Peace flow through you right now. Scripture says your very bones will vibrate with health. I speak the vibration of health into your bones, into your skeleton, into your musculature, into your skin, into your hair. Your fingernails. Into your physical heart, into your lungs, into your kidneys, your spleen, your pancreas. Thank you. next to emotions that are trapped in your body that have become pain or become sickness, pathogens. Kingdom Key unlocks those emotions. Meditate yourself back even beyond being born or being prenatal. Meditate yourself back to where you were in God before you got here. Your brain may not know how to do that, but your spirit knows where that is. David called it the secret place of the Most High. Meditate yourself back to eternity, back to infinity. Meditate yourself to place where you are bigger than negative things, you're bigger than trivia, the distraction that weighs you down. Meditate yourself toward the light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let it be. Let there be light. Let your being be flooded with light. Light. Let there be light in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, in your memories, in your emotions, in your dreams. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overtake. Flowing all through your body. Keep breathing. Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Not be still and think about God, but be still and know. There's a knowledge of God you can't get from a sermon or from the Bible or from anywhere else. It's in you. Be still and know that place, that God place in you, that divine place in you. Let us create people in our image and let them be still and know who they are and what they are. If you can receive this, meditate yourself up above your body. Just hear me spiritually. Come up above your body and up to a higher frequency. You're not dying, but it's the way some people are when they cross over. They come out of their body and they can see. They can look down at the room. Meditate yourself to that place where you just come out of your shell for a minute. Let your spirit stretch. Just dance in the light for a minute. Out of the restraints of whatever age body that you're in. Just come out of that space. Dance in the light. Dance in creation. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was willed action. In the beginning was light. Enjoy just a few more moments of it. We have plenty of time. I like this music. It's just really easy. It just sort of lets you float a little bit. It's good. Keep breathing. Charles, just keep the music going, but let's gradually come out of it. If you need to clear your throat or whatever you need to do. If you need to wiggle a little bit. Do you know how long we did that? Do you have any idea? Can't tell. I don't have any way to prove this, but it feels like when you're in that environment, there's a cell restoration. Doesn't that seem right to you? I feel like it allows your cells to recreate. If that's impossible, don't tell me, because it feels like that's what it feels like to me. Even the releasing of cell memory that sometimes holds disease and that sort of thing. Let it play for a minute more. We're not specifically meditating right now, but it's a sacred moment. Let's just hold on to it before you get back in the fray, climb up on this rock, get your breath. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, legacy's peace. Peace I leave with you. Of all the things he could have said, not you'll go to heaven when you die. It's like, peace I'll leave with you. Not, and then he says, not as the world gives, let not your heart be troubled. Meaning, it's there, but you have to remove the trouble, and then you find the peace. Let's just stand up and stretch a minute. Just keep it playing, Charles. You can even turn it up just a little bit. Music, it's got me very relaxed. I like your slides, Michelle. That's good. That's where the peace is. Up out of here. Tell me something, Doc. Tell me something about peace.
There's a peace in you that surpasses understanding. So beyond understanding, it's peace. Trying to understand it. That's what it means. Don't let your heart be troubled. There's a peace beyond that understanding. Because usually understanding is us trying to figure it out, which is more and more confusion. Be still, be quiet, and then you'll know. But you'll never know till you be still. And you never be still till you be quiet. So it's 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And then you'll know. Not believe, know. There's a dimension beyond believing. It's called knowing. And that's peace. Not figuring it out, you just know.
You can't try to know. No. You just know.
Just know.
Thanks, Doc. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Be still and know that he's God. When people say, I used to hear this all the time, I want to get closer to God. You can't get closer to omnipresence. You know what you already have and what you already are. That just speaks of, you know, I'm going to try harder to get closer to God. That doesn't work. You know something, and you know that you know. What's that? Which thing? Ro is just saying, just receiving so much confirmation today, more than she could even articulate. That's why when I'm talking, some things I don't even stop and think if they make sense, because if I overthink it, I'll talk myself out of saying it. But I just know when it feels right to say something. Like, what does that mean? Peace is behind your eyes. I don't know. That just seemed like that needed to be said. Or come up out of your body and dance in the light. That's a very abstract idea. But there's something about, you know, getting out of the restraints of the physical. And it doesn't mean you're dying. It means that you have the ability to rule over your own spirit, you know? You checking your throat? I speak healing to your throat. I know you had a little issue with that last night. While we're in this meditative state, just let your body receive it. And all the physical and emotional stuff that you've been through, you are restored, not depleted. You know, when you give and give and give and give and give more than you're getting back, it catches up with you. Just send some energy. Those of you standing around, just put your hand on him. You know, I don't want you to pray. I want you just to touch him and give him some energy. Give him some love. Those of you who are empathetic, if you know who you are, pull some of that pain out. This may be too personal, but I took my parents to Dr. Sheila this week. My dad was having some sciatica, and she said, "Do you need a?" She said, "You come in and get an adjustment." I said, "Okay," and I was having a hard time last week. The last couple of weeks have been challenging. And she literally said, I feel like I'm pulling black ribbons out of you. And she said, I pull it out and I send it into the abyss. And that is, I know that sounds out there, but that is what it felt like. And when she was, I thought, okay, well, I feel relief, you know. And there's some things you don't need to, there's nothing to talk about because there's just some inevitabilities of life that you're having to get your bearings on. But sometimes they do, you know, it takes you a minute to get your footing. And sometimes it's a word like that. I thought about it all day after she said that. I thought, wow, she pulled that out of me. Does that make sense? No, I don't want to ask if it makes sense. It doesn't need to make sense. What's that? Right. Exactly. But you connect with it. It resonates with you. There's some things that resonate with you that you don't necessarily understand. They just resonate with you. It's like that something about what you just said felt right. It. I love sometimes when somebody on Facebook somebody posts something and somebody will say, oh, this post has given me life. I love when somebody says that some words are giving you life. That's a great compliment when somebody says, these words are giving me life. And anyway, what y'all feeling? Anybody need it? Is it okay if we dedicate a month to this? Because I think doing it, and the week that Chelsea's not here, we'll just do it the whole time. And I'm just curious to see what will happen if we just keep doing it. I mean, I'm going to talk. Obviously, you can't shut me up, but it's because I'm wanting to guide you into it. I don't want it to be a lost opportunity. And it's probably. Denise, I'm sure you lead it. I don't know there's a right way to lead a meditation. We all do things differently. She said, because that she's a meditation teacher. She said it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I like to kind of tap into the prophetic a little bit. And Just speak those words. It's good. I'm glad you were here today. I feel your energy. It's awesome to be in a room full of people that aren't contentious with you. Do you know what I mean? There's so much tribalism and polarization and so much division. It's just very healthy to be in a room full of people that might not agree on every tiny thing, but for the most part, you're on the same page. And you definitely agree that you love each other. And that there's, you don't even realize, nothing against streaming, and especially those of you that are out of town, it's great that you have it. But there is something about, it's not just about sitting under the teaching, it's connecting with some other people that you don't even realize how much you pick up just from their energy, you know? And so that's good. Good, good, good. Well, whatever happened in meditation today, we call it sealed. And everybody agreed with that? Please remain standing and we'll hit this. And and if you got something today, write it.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give any time by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab. Then, my online donation.
If you have a check,
when you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month.
Dan, be back there to receive it.
Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you have cash, pay it forward. Felicia, when people tell you goodbye, do they go, bye, Felicia? Do you hear that a lot? You must hear it. Where did that come from? Who was the original Felicia of Bye, Felicia? Why, Felicia was a character in Friday? And what, she got kicked out or something? I don't remember that. I saw Friday, but I don't remember. She was a little what? A little crackhead. Oh, okay. See, I don't remember that. I've seen Fridays a couple times, but I don't remember that. I didn't know that's where they could. See, we have meditated, and I have learned something. And you're like, oh, this is so funny. I've never heard this before. What year did that movie come out? Too funny. Too funny. What? Oh, that's next week? We spring forward. And it's just an hour. All right. I love you very much. If you got something out of today, write about it so I can use it. It's very encouraging to me when I know that it connected with you in some way. I love you very, very, very much. Peace.